Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Rhythmic Moon, and it is the sixth day of the Yellow Seed Wave Spell, and it is the Solar Moon Day 12. And we are in the second week of the Solar Moon. There are 4 weeks of 7 days each, and each is oriented to one of the four directions. The first one was in the east, the place of the mind and fire, and now we are in the north, the place of spirit and air. And the verb is to purify. I think that you can count it as a time to receive blessings as well. The purification doesn't always have to be a wrestling act to exorcise all the toxins in our space. It can be more like a gentle visitation from the spirit world, you know, touching on us and letting us feel lifted and lightened. I wanted to start today's podcast by recognizing that my mood and temperament has been so drastically altered. I think it's even been within, it's been within the last 6 weeks or so. I've received some healing work, most of it really recent, that just kind of reset all my trauma memory to, you know, minimal increments. And my trauma memory was just explosive, like having a cancer take over my body, although it was all sort of non-physiological, and it was incapacitating. And then it was lifted. And, you know, sort of miraculously so, given how quickly that change happened, and we'll see how long-standing and pervasive it is. But the kind of mental health or emotional illness that was going on was also, like, shocking and disturbing, because I really haven't been that vulnerable for the last set of years. It came and sort of caught me by the ankles as if it was like some sneaker wave from climate change disturbance that I just didn't know I had to anticipate anymore, things that would be so drastically disabling. And then it's gone and I'm okay. And I have put a lot of my energy since that experience of, you know, being freed from a certain kind of torment toward wanting to help others. I mean, it sounds kind of evangelical, but I believe the way that natural time works is that it helps you be interested in a spiritual practice, and that it's healing to fall into rhythm with natural time, that I have a lot of insights about the rhythms, and that I'm always available to share them as long as I, you know, continue to feel inspired, and I am inspired. But I also am slightly distracted in a positive way, that I'm doing active healing now, meaning using my intuition and skills that are cultivated and small set of skills that are kind of new found to try to help people feel lighter and brighter as I was allowed to. So I'm just putting that message out there because it's shifting the tone again of the work that I do and the way I offer work. And I don't have any regrets or feel a real need to apologize, but this last winter, I really had like 3 or 4 moons here back at the microphone with my whole heart, and the frequency of the podcast increased, and that's wonderful, and I'm going to maintain that. There are 3 20-minute episodes each week, and then there's another 20-minute episode on YouTube on the weekend, which is a little bit more designed for beginners, and it doesn't even talk about the 13 moons. It just talks about the Dzogchen, and you can find that through my website, resonanttruth.com, or Google Lisa Starr Resonant Truth on YouTube. But I'm in the right groove right now in my life that this is what I'm doing for natural time. I'm not doing more, although I always do readings. And I just once again want to say thank you for understanding that I'm truly never posturing as a great guru who is so intractable in her even steadiness that everyone can lean on me. I would never imagine that I could be that. And I also think it's more fun to just be like the most talkative member of your team of people that are really churning through truth and discovery of ways out of denial. And those can be personal and intricate, or they can be generalized. One basic form of denial is the Gregorian calendar being something that was sort of artificially reinvented over years and yet hasn't been reinvented again to any good will since the 1400s. So that's a lot of denial about time tracking and being more scientific in how we experience the resonance of time. So here we're in time resonance and I'm all aboard. But if you notice, I'm just like, sometimes I get a lot of zeal about the 13 moons and the Dzogchen, and then there's a little surge, and then my zeal for the calendars doesn't change, but my zeal for being out in the world with it can ebb and flow. And today's a red moon day, so everything I'm saying is maybe feels like an opposite message than the one you're wanting to hear. I'm a blue storm. Today's a red moon. It's my antipode, and I am the antipode to the day. And so I'm not even that stoked to be on the microphone because I don't want to rub people the wrong way just by being kind of in the day's opposition. I think one feature of the way I teach here is that I really do have an affinity for, meaning a recognition of, the depth of power of looking at the world as shadow energy and light, which is pretty much like a Jungian set of terms. And so I teach so much about the shadow and light of each tribe and each tone and the times we pass through. But I guess the reason I had this front end sort of disclaimer or disclosure is because I have really been broadcasting from the shadow realm for years, like up to 3 years, maybe shy of that. And, you know, I just feel very light filled. It is the solar moon, the time of light and fire. And we'll see if it is something that outlasts this time, because the planetary tone and energy field is very different than this aspirational, like finally, like, you know, an unbridled horse racing at the speed of our greatest comfort and the solar tone. We feel like we're almost to the summit of something that has been difficult and arduous and long underway in a climb or an ascent. You know, that's what the solar tone also feels like. It feels like being conjoined with the sun and the God forces. And that's something we all dream of. So when it's finally time to be speaking the language of the sun to the sun, it can feel like, you know, I've learned everything I need to. I'm good. You know, I finally found enlightenment. That's how it can feel here. And we'll see how long it lasts. For me, that's how I feel. So we'll see if it's a phase or like I made it to a plateau. And, you know, from here, there'll be nuances and further growth, and the onion, you know, peel metaphor applies. Or did I, a few years out of my 52nd return, finally find some kind of major victory in how I can spend the rest of my life being of service? Because I truly believe that the first 52 years we're inclined to and allowed to deal with karma that comes from being part of a genetic family and carrying ancestral DNA and ancestral karma, that we are unraveling the knots in that karma. But then when we're 52, when we might have risen and, you know, left our mortal coil and been woven into the stars, as the Mayas seem to have described, you know, a complete 52-year life cycle. The fact that we're still alive means that we still can be present on Earth in our incarnated bodies, but maybe to be angels on Earth. Like, I've had that idea for a long time, more than a decade, and then now that it is my time into the second part of living, which is living past my 52-year return, I can see an opportunity here to just say, you know, there are things I want to do, but mostly I look around and I just see people in desperate need of healing. And I was that person in desperate need of healing. And because I'm pretty self-involved and self-generating, that's a blue storm attribute, I have fought for it. And, you know, against pharmaceutical cure-alls and even alternative medicine, meaning everyone wanted me on psychedelics. And I was like, I don't really want to. And instead, you know, I found a way that is more pure to my heart, which is about energy work and sort of like energetic surgery. So I'm all for the people listening who are way, way a ways from being 52. There's so much I'm happy to share that can be part of your learning process with the calendars. But people that have been through the 52-year return or its approaching, I hope you take it really seriously, because I'm not the only one with the awakening that accompanied it. We all get that. So back to current time, or whatever we do here. I just had like a really interesting day with a person who began essentially as like a podcast listener. I met him socially, and then he was a podcast listener, and I moved away from where I met him. So that would have been our continued way of communicating, just one-sided. But sometimes people pass through where I live, and I spent the day, and it was really fun to meet him because he and I are exact analogs, which means perfect support for each other. He's a yellow overtone sun, a blue overtone storm. You should see if you know anyone who is your support. They make great friends. It's like a very strong fraternal, almost like twin bond level, just a real sense of this is someone I can lean on and vice versa. But what I really loved about it is that I was taking him around just on a walking tour of where I live. And I usually have so many dogs that those walks don't include much like window shopping or let's pop in here for a minute. And we stopped outside a pretty eccentric New Age bookstore that wasn't open, but they had boxes of free books outside. And I grabbed John Major Jenkins' book about 2012, which is an infamous tome. If you tracked the Mayan teachings during the 2012 like moment of revelation, he was the front runner for being a spokesperson. He would have been a pundit for the Mayan teachings at that time. And I've never read his book, but I grabbed it with my friend and said, well, I'm going to read this book because it will help the podcast. It will be new information, because I only have gotten information from channeling pretty much reductively. It's from channeling through living the calendars. I never do anthropological research. I don't read other Mayan mystics. And this time I'm going to. So that's a gift that I was given that I think is meant to support our little community. I don't have a lot to say about Yellow Seed today. I want to point out that the podcast on YouTube can be listened to, and I did do a pretty in-depth welcome to Yellow Seed on it this week. I get tired of talking about plants because plants aren't big talkers, and plant consciousness is not full of verbiage. It's full of amazement at the sensual experience of being alive. And because I was walking around with someone today who wasn't a dog and I could actually interact in verbiage, it was just like, this is amazing. This spring moment, like just, especially when there's a more caustic winter, which each one has of us has an idea of what is hardship in winter, but it was kind of rough here. And and it really makes it a revelation to have that be somewhat in the rear view and feeling this tilting of the globe back towards sunlight and warmth and, you know, the spectacle of nature's beauty, the end, right? That's yellow seed to me. Yellow seed is just about the simplicity of our hungers, our appetites for light, for earth, for the right amount of moisture, just so we can be bigger and broader and, you know, ultimately have something to give back in the form of our fruit. I love how streamlined my thought process can be around all of this. While at the same time, the solar moon doesn't streamline any thought process. Everything is really agitated and on fire. So there is fusion because yellow seed is so much about sunlight. And then also yellow seed is so simple compared to how fiery our mental hijinks are when we are allowed as humans basically to just be all in with intention and aspiration as we are right now. It's like, you want to be wishful? Go for it. There are a bunch of other times in the spread of 13 tones, which can be 13 moons or 13 days, when we're more reserved and it's just not appropriate to be like, you know what I want? This is what I want. I want everyone to know this is what I want. Like this moment of unbridled sort of, it can sound egotistical or self-serving to fixate on, this is what I plan to do, this is what I want to do. Want, you know, that verb of kind of entitlement. But within the 13 tones, there is a time for everything. And it's not always that time for the thing that you are inclined to. So there's a beautiful ease. Humans are built to aspire and to want to create, and all around that is mental intention, and then our hands do the work. So right now we are being really supported just by the Mayan teachings. We can drop in to some of our fantastical ideas, our magical thinking. And again, that's not simple. It's complicated. It can be really nonstop. I felt like there's a way that I'm interrupted in my relaxation techniques just by the solar time, but it also just the gift of being in yellow seed. And the portals, I mean, today felt like a portal. Today is red moon, and when this man was here, we were just brought back to waterways. You know, I live by the bay, and then I wanted to find a canal that's a little bit infamous. And along the way, you can just feel the flow. When you're looking for live water reserves, it's almost like you're a rivulet going between them yourselves. And it just feels really perfect and magical. I think that red moon has qualities of purification that can be hard if we feel that we're toxic for whatever reason, because we were around toxicity, or maybe we somehow feel we carry it. And red moon can feel like more of a challenge, and it's demanding of us that something be dropped or rinsed away. But right now I don't think I have a lot of excess. I've done a lot of purging and releasing. And so there's this way that red moon ends up being all about flow, and the purification process is sort of already at hand. So it's more about like riding the stream, the gentle stream, but the one that always is flowing in a direction towards balance and towards rejoining with all the other threads of water into something massive and powerful. So it's been a beautiful day. It's portal day. As you know, we're in the portal run. I think we have 6 more. So there's plenty of time to keep experiencing portal opening, portal empowerment. And I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, Imakesh.